This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so congrats, Toronto. You've won the NBA championship. Now in the season of Wojo, as somebody once put it on Twitter. I love it. I love that line. But he's reporting that the Wizards plan to offer Masai Ujiri a mega deal to take over their franchise. That didn't take long, right? What, when are we just a couple of hours removed from him celebrating with the trophy? Then already the Wizards are like, yeah, can we talk now? Yeah, yeah, about that thing? We were, yeah, you got a second for us? Can we talk now? It's like, wait a minute, let me go to the parade first. Let me just enjoy celebrating. Yeah, I know, but when you're ready, can we just chat? Because we needed somebody to run this team, and you seem to have done a really good job with the Raptors. It is amazing, absolutely amazing what Toronto did. You know, we've talked about all of the moves that he's made, breaking it down, you know, the risk reward of pulling us off. But in the end, the players still have to execute. You can make these moves. You can bring in Nick Nurse. You can bring in Kawhi Leonard. You got to hope for health. You got to hope for continuity. You've got to hope for cohesiveness. You got to hope for a lot of things that you can't control as a franchise president of operations, like Masai Ujiri is. But that came through. And all of the injuries that the Warriors have had, and this might be one of those NBA finals where the memory of it might be, hey, Kevin Durant going down, the Warriors were pretty beat up. But I hope it is not lost on the performance of what the Toronto Raptors were able to do in this series. And it really did start with game one. Look, many people predicted Golden State in five. Many predicted Golden State would sweep. I mean, my God, they looked fantastic against the Portland Trailblazers. And even though you knew Toronto was better than Portland, you just couldn't grasp the Warriors losing four games in seven. You know, it was only until the team was starting to get beat up a little bit and then, you know, Kevin Durant not being available at all. We always started this series with the knowledge that Kevin Durant may not play, but because they never said anything, there was always a thought that he could come back. He seemed to be a day-to-day kind of player. While it will be remembered for the injuries the Warriors had, I hope time makes the Toronto Raptors shine like the team they were in this series. There was a lot of drama in this series. There was a lot of great moments and bad moments in this series. And in essence, it was a complete series.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Your thought on the NBA Finals last night? It is done. So the Raptors are the champs. And you know what? Good for the city of Toronto. Good for Drake. You know, we had some fun with him. But you know what? Good for the city. You know, they really loved that basketball team, and they played great. They played great in this series. But man, watching the Warriors last night, I almost had felt sympathy for them. I almost felt sorry for them. And then I realized, oh God, who am I feeling sorry for? This juggernaut of an NBA dynasty. But God, they were just getting beat up. And when Klay Thompson went down. And with the injury, everybody's reaction was probably the same, I would guess, right? Oh, here we go again. Oh my goodness. How much torture can this basketball team withstand in this series? I mean, everybody's got an injury. But in the end, Toronto pulls this off. I did think Golden State was going to find a way to win. They really were aggressive, just incredibly aggressive. And I thought, you know what, they're going to pull this off. And we may not like the team that plays in Game 7, and they'll probably lose. But, man, they are not going to leave Oracle with a loss. Nah, Curry got the look, but he just couldn't knock it down. That moment where Danny Green got trapped. on the highs, you know, on the high side, I should say, well, low side, depending on your view of the end line near half court, and then couldn't find an outlet to throw it. Threw the ball away. It was Golden State's ball. Kerr's drawn up a play, and I thought to myself, this is it. This is how they're going to win this game. And it may not be pretty, but this is how they're going to win the game. And they don't. And the ball is, people are scrambling for it, and Draymond gets it and calls timeout, and they don't have a timeout, and technical, and Kawhi Leonard ices the game. It was so funny. There was one moment, I don't know how many of you caught this, because I did warn you about this yesterday. I said, watch the game tonight, watch Draymond Green, watch him react to the referees. He is one technical foul away from being suspended from game 7. There was a moment where he got called for a foul, and they showed him arguing with the ref.
At the
free throw line. And I thought to myself, why isn't there Warriors tackling him and dragging him to the ground and telling him to keep his mouth shut?
The only other thought that went through my mind were the refs told, hey, if there's potential of it going to a game 7, let's not go down that road.
That's a great point. I think the NBA probably did tell him that.
Because, I mean, yeah. it would make for better imagine if the Warriors had pulled it out. Imagine he had gotten a technical for arguing with the ref. Because I was thinking the same exact thing you were thinking. I mean, he is literally like nose to nose with his ref. And, I mean, you could tell that he is just upset. And the ref is just kind of shrugging it off like, hey, you know what, relax, dude, relax type of thing. But imagine if the Warriors had won. He gets a technical, and then now you're without Draymond, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant.
I know. It's just...
Does Curry even bother showing up?
It's just unbelievable.
They just look at their roster and go, Toronto's this time of year is expensive.
Yeah, and I really don't...
Last minute hotel room's tough.
And I really don't need Mark Jackson and Van Gundy to tell me how good Sean Livingston's going to be in game 7, right? Like, I really don't need that. You're right. But I think you're right. I think the NBA and the officials said, look, guys, unless he's calling us beep, 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 beep.
Or throwing the ball at us.
Let him yell. Let him talk. Like, just let him get some frustration out. But let's not be the story of a potential game 7. So you want to call a technical because he threw a ball at you because he called you a beep, 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 beep. Yes. But if he's arguing and legitimately arguing, if he's making a case and he's doing it demonstratively, but he's doing it maybe a little bit with some aggression, let's let this go. Because again, if you suspend him, if you give him the technical and he doesn't do any of the things we just said, right? He doesn't curse. He doesn't call names. He doesn't throw anything in anger. He just is legitimately arguing a call like you see all the time. Then the refs become a story in a potential game 7. And like you said, they're down, already no Durant is coming back. Klay Thompson is in the locker room with an injury. You lose Draymond Green. You got Steph and the boys, and that's all he's going to have.
Well, you have half a loony.
That becomes, half a loony, half a loony. And that becomes a story. And then for the next few days leading into a possible game 7 on Sunday, that's all the media is going to talk about is the NBA officials that threw Draymond Green out for arguing, not doing anything insane, just arguing, have affected the game 7. And if you're Adam Silver, this is not what you want. Now, obviously, we don't have that problem because the Raptors are celebrating rather than hosting. But there was a moment where I thought, oh my God, if this guy and the official that they showed on TV was as cool as a cucumber. He was just listening to it and letting
it
all come in. He must have picked the right guy.
That's all I was thinking. I was like, man, this guy has just let it bounce off of him. Because even after, if we go the whole offseason, that becomes a story too.
Major story, right? Because when people still talk about Draymond getting suspended for against Cleveland in 2016.
Yeah.
Right. So that's still brought up occasionally when you talk about those NBA finals. So it's
I'm certain there was like a little memo that went by and like, hey, unless he's going full irate baseball coach against umpire, if he's going Billy Martin on you, then maybe you have a point.
If he threatens to kill your kids or he calls your mom a name or he's like, okay, but if he's like, dude, I got all ball, you didn't see that? You've got to see that. Come on.
you just got to let it roll. Yep. Let it roll.
If he was to take a cup of Gatorade and pour it over your head.
That's right.
Yes, now you have the right. Now you know, you're in the clear of calling a technical. No one's going to be mad at you.
I couldn't imagine, like, if let's say you're an official and Draymond throws a ball at your head, right? He just throws a ball at your head. Do you look up at go, can I now? Is this okay? Before I become a name around the country that people on Twitter are going to issue death threats against me, can I call this? Because I need to call this.
Where's the Adam bat phone?
Exactly.
I need to go straight to the commish.
But God, Toronto, well done. Good job. Three road wins is awesome. I mean, that is
at Oracle.
Fantastic. At Oracle.
We didn't
fantastic.
Even give them a chance for one.
Nope. And listen, I get it. Listen, the emotion of the moment of a closing of a building, you know, I don't know if players think about that. They have a lot on their mind about a game. But I thought that crowd was really going to spur Golden State on to win that game. But you know what? Maybe that crowd spurred Golden State on only to a point where that particular team, that's probably the best they were going to do. You know, losing a guy that had 30 points already in the box score, that hurt. Oh, and missing free throws, that hurt. But did you see DeMarcus Cousins? Like, he's on the floor. He's, like, trying to get everything. I mean, he is out there like, he was, I'm going to kill myself playing basketball.
And that's another guy we didn't even bring up. I mean, that guy is, like, literally a half a step away from a career-ending injury.
Exactly. He gives him 19, gets 12 points. He's out there hustling, trying to do everything.
Fantastic.
I mean, he really did. He really did.
You could totally. I mean, you could tell that he like everyone else went to the Warriors to get. I mean, he was hoping to get a title as well. I mean, this was his one chance.
Yep.
Who knows if he's going to get one next year or the following year or ever.
And then Kawhi Leonard is a series MVP. He becomes the first player to win a finals MVP in both the Eastern and Western Conference. When I first heard that, I went, oh, come on. Really? There hasn't been somebody else that did that? And I was like, no, I guess not.
Nah. Well, I guess it's because not many players trade conferences.
Not very many people. Not very many really good players that are capable of winning this award twice have played in both conferences, let alone another team. I mean, Magic never played for anybody else.
But Andre Iguodala didn't? No, I guess because the Sixers never went.
Yeah.
When he was with them.
So he... Yeah, so there's a... It makes sense, but... Yeah, like Larry didn't play for anybody, and you know, Isaiah didn't play for anybody else. I mean, Jordan played, but he stayed in the Eastern Conference. But, yeah, there you go. So that's a pretty good feather in Kawhi's cap to win the final MVP when he goes off to Los Angeles this offseason. Seriously, I still believe this is mission accomplished. I think it's mission accomplished. I won't put it in stone or I won't put it in ink because you just don't know. I don't know his day-to-day life in Toronto. I mean, when he's off the court and he's going to a particular store, a particular coffee shop, or wherever he likes to hang out in Toronto, how the fans have treated him, I'm sure they've treated him great. The city is awesome. Everybody loves Toronto. Everybody loves the city. But you just don't know what those kind of things are. He gave them everything that they wanted. He's given them a championship. And so if you have a goal of one day, when he was in San Antonio, was he thinking, you know, someday I'm going to play for the Lakers or someday I'm going to go back to Los Angeles. That's not dead. Like that's not dead. But if he signs a deal with Toronto, it's likely he'll never play in LA. It's likely that he'll finish his career in Toronto or at least finish a majority of his good years in Toronto. And with that in mind, this is a big decision. And if you still have a dream and a goal to go to LA, go do it. Because one thing you can't predict is all the good things that are going on right now with Toronto. They were champions, a good basketball team. You can still build on it because there's still, you could still bring in another player if you want. All of those are great, but you don't know after you sign your deal if it's going to be awesome 2 years from now, 3 years from now. Not saying playing for the Lakers is going to be awesome, but if he knows that I will be happy at least living in Los Angeles, whether or not the team I'm playing for is dysfunctional, then that's a big consideration. So we shall see this offseason. But when it does get rolling, it's going to be fun. SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio, again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. I'll get into the U.S. Open and what we saw yesterday at Pebble Beach. That is coming up. I've got some also news and notes that we want to get from the not only the NBA Finals, but the NBA in general as we continue along on SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb, and that's coming up in 13 minutes. You don't want to miss that because it's always a fun segment. It gets you in the, you know, makes you feel good, bad, and then makes you feel like somebody else is dumb. It's going to get you ready for the weekend. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You know, make sure your car is in shape when you get ready for those summer vacation. I am going on vacation at the end of the month. I got to drive down to Florida a week from today. About
Wait,
an
what?
8-hour drive. So.
Why am I the last to know?
Oh, yeah. Well, you didn't know. Didn't I tell you I was going on vacation at the end of the month?
No.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Mike Gill will be filling in for me at the 23rd through the 28th. Yeah. So that's my family vacation. So I've got to make sure. I always do this with my car. Every road trip, I take my son and I go, we're taking this to the car wash and we're not leaving until this car looks like a showroom looking car as best as it possibly can. I want this car looking great because I know my two children. On a road trip, my car will look like it got beat up and trashed by a zoo by the time I get to the location that I need to go. So I say, we're going to scrub this thing down, vacuum every nook and cranny of this car, because I know when we get to our destination, the car is going to look awful because you guys are in the backseat just throwing candy all over the place.
That just reminds me of something. You know what type of rich I want to be? The type of rich I want to be is go on a family vacation where you're driving, and you come back home and you just get rid of the car.
You just go, yeah, done.
Just drive it right back to a dealership and go, it's yours. I don't care. Give me what you want.
I had to do that on vacation once. I went to go visit some family, and I had to take my cars to a car wash vacuum place while I was on vacation because the car was so trashed. I went back into my car, and I said, who had Swedish fish? And both my kids were like, not me. I'm like, really? Because there's like five of them wedged in the seats of the back seat, all gooey and gross and baked in from the sun. I was like, don't tell me you guys didn't have it. It's right here. The cherryness of the Swedish fish is embedded into my upholstery. Stop lying. Somebody opened that up and just dumped candy everywhere and didn't pick it up. So that's what I got to do. So that's how I'm rolling this up this year. Pebble Beach yesterday was very tame. A lot of people under par. Justin Rose at 6 under, Ricky Fowler and a bunch of other guys at 5 under. This is where the U.S. Open has got to be tricky because the U.S. Open is unlike any other golf tournament in the country, right? Where they want to protect par better than anybody else. You go low at Augusta, great. You want to go low at the PGA, they almost encourage it because that's what they kind of want. If you go low at the British Open, it's only because Mother Nature cooperated and they can't control that. So, you know, so be it. But the USGA really wants par around par to be the winning score. But they have a tricky problem with Pebble Beach because Pebble Beach is cold. They're going to play this morning, and they were talking about the temperature is going to be in the 50s when the guys go to tee off this morning. It's going to be cold. You can get weather. You can also get sun, and you get wind. And so what happens is if the course is set up to be difficult, they raise the rough, they cut the greens down to be faster, they put tougher pin placements, you can create a disastrous day of scoring if the sun is out baking everything and the winds pick up off the ocean. You could make it really, really bad for the players and really bad, embarrass them. And then they're going to grumble and then they're going to complain. And you may not roll your eyes, but that's kind of what you're going to get. The USGA doesn't want that anymore. They want the course to be hard, but they got to find a way to protect it from what Mother Nature can do to make it already hard. And that's what they didn't have at Shinnecock last year, for example. Shinnecock, they made almost unplayable, And then the winds picked up and everybody suffered. And everybody went crazy. That was the tournament, if you remember last year, where Phil Mickelson hit a putt and then just walked over to it and hit it while it was still rolling. Because he was like, I've had enough of this.
Because that's what we all do.
That's what we all do when we're like, I'm going to watch that roll down a hill, off the green, down another hill. Forget it. I'm not going to go get my wedge. Sorry, that's all the way over in the cart. I'm going to go hit it now. But that's basically the kind of golf you get with the U.S. Open. The problem is it's been like that for a long time. The USGA has done this for years and years and years. I remember one time it was the Olympic Golf Club. And I want to say it was in 89 or something like that. Payne Stewart, the late Payne Stewart, hit a putt on the 18th hole at Olympic in San Francisco. And as it was rolling, it was the pin placement was such an awful place that as it was rolling, as soon as he hit the putt, Payne Stewart looked over at one of the USGA officials and stared at him while his putt went past the hole, off the green, all the way down to the bottom of the hill. And he was, you know, he was a good like 3 feet above the hole, but he couldn't get the putt, would not stop. No matter how lightly he touched it, he knew if it missed the hole, it was gone. That was 20 something years ago. So the USGA has always had this problem. But they made Pebble Beach yesterday was accessible. It was soft. There was no wind, and the players took advantage. The best players in the world basically played it like it was the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, which I'm sure the USGA hated. But that's the way it was. Tiger Woods shot one under. He's in a good spot. You never know where the scores are going to go, you know, north or south. Rory McIlroy was 3 under par. Phil Mickelson was 1 over for his round in his quest for the first U.S. Open. But that, you know what? All the scoring, it's early. We'll see how it plays out this weekend. All I want to say is this. Anytime you can watch golf being played at Pebble Beach, watch it. It is so unbelievably gorgeous. I don't understand how these guys, they just must get so used to that place every year because they play it on tour every year. I would be blown away if I was playing that golf course by the beauty of it. It's mesmerizing how pretty that golf course is.
You almost get the feeling you probably end up doing more sightseeing.
Yeah.
Like you would be staring down that hole, looking at that hole, judging how far you have to go. Then all of a sudden you drift off and you're like, oh man, look at the water.
There's water. There's seals on the shore. Yeah. I mean, it's just. I mean, you're on a cliff.
Just even looking at the Pacific Ocean with the cypress trees. And the way they look. I mean, they look like gigantic bonsai trees.
There's a couple of holes there that are some of my favorites just to view. There's one, the short par three seventh, that is just tucked right on the cliff, and it's like 100 yards long, and it's so challenging, but it's fun. But then the eighth hole, you shoot down the fairway to the fairway, and then the fairway where you are, there's like a cut into the hole, so it's divided by this water that you're going to hit over, but you're on top of the level and you're going to hit down into a landing area where the green is. That when you see it from the back end, from the green up, it is just breathtaking. It is just amazing. So listen, who wins this thing? I don't care. But I will. I'm really going to enjoy watching the way that course looks. 18 is fantastic. I mean, just the way it bends around the you know, towards the ocean. It's just a fantastic golf course. So that's the U.S. Open again. Justin Rose, your lead. Justin Rose, real quick. I remember Justin Rose when he was. I watched the British Open in 98, and it was at Royal Birkdale. And Justin Rose was like a 17-year-old kid, like, you know, one of these golfing prodigies, you know, that was just young enough to make the British Open. And he's out there, like his dad's caddying or his coach is caddying for him or whatever. And he's on the 18th hole at Muirfield, and he hits his approach shot into the cup for an eagle, too. And the place is losing its mind. They're going crazy for this kid. And he's turned into, he's the number one golfer. He was at one time the number one golfer in the world until Brooks Koepka took it over. That's great that when you're young and everyone says, you know what, he's going to make it, and you make it, that's awesome. Because there's so many kids who have played in these tournaments as teenagers that we never hear from again. But Justin Rose not only made it, but made it to be one of the top golfers on the planet. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb, coming up next.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good and the bad and the dumb. We're setting you right for the weekend. As you're going to have a great weekend, great Father's Day weekend. So this is how we kick it off. Ron, let's start with the good.
The good of the day. I almost want to say borderline great of the day. A high school valedictorian giving her speech. I'm going to set it up this way because I'd much rather you just listen to portions of the speech.
Okay, great.
I'm not sure on her name, but it doesn't really matter. I know she was the valedictorian of a high school that's in San Diego, San Ysidro, which is near the border of Mexico, which doesn't, it's just giving you a location. It has really nothing to do with it. And the first half of her speech, she does that traditional thing, thanking her parents, thanking her friends, saying, hey, we're going to do great moving on from here. You know, that whole hoorah type moment.
Right.
And then she'll, also thinking, singling out a few teachers to thank. And then the speech took a drastic turn.
To my counselor, thanks for teaching me to fend for myself. You were always unavailable to my parents and I, despite appointments. Only in these past few weeks, with the award ceremonies and graduation coming up, did you begin making your appearance. And might I note, you expressed to me your joy in knowing that one of your students was valedictorian when you had absolutely no role in my achievements. To the staff in the main office, thank you for teaching me how to be resourceful. Your negligence to inform me of several scholarships until the day before they were due potentially caused me to miss out on thousands of dollars. When applying for a work permit, you repeatedly turned me away, despite confirming with my employer and parents that all my paperwork was filled correctly. I've had to escalate issues with staff to an assistant principal various times to reach any sort of solution. To the teacher who was regularly intoxicated during class this year, thank you for using yourself as an example to teach students about the dangers of alcoholism. Being escorted by police out of school left a lasting impression. I hope that future students and staff learn from these examples. Thank you, class of 2019.
Oh, that is absolute gold. That is absolute gold.
You know, every once in a while you do get a great instead of a good.
Unbelievable. That has put a smile on my face from ear to ear. How awesome is that?
I mean, you know, it's tough enough for a high school kid to get up in front of her peers and give a speech just to talk to them. But to go ahead and say, you know what, I'm going to put a few individuals on blast while I'm doing this. I mean, it was fantastic.
That's fantastic. And calling out just the incompetence of her school. That thing about scholarships, man, that would make me angry.
Oh, like, my God.
That would just...
Well, that, you know, the counselor, too. I mean,
Counselor, right?
You're trying to get an appointment with this person, and then the only time that person comes around is like, hey, one of my students is valedictorian. Come on in. And, you know, you're like, you had nothing to do with this. I'm glad that she called him out.
You know, I got to say this, I have had teachers in my life that I wish got $1 million a year, right? I just wish they made more money than they knew what to do with and were set for life. I had other teachers that I wish were fired immediately. We all have them. We probably all can name a few teachers.
Yeah.
And I went to a small high school. We all probably have a few teachers that we would be like, that person should be not, she should never be allowed with kids, should never be allowed to guide young men and women into adulthood. What are you talking about? They're horrible people. And so I'm glad she called out some of the incompetent ones to just keep people on, not on notice per se, but to realize there is a responsibility that you have at this job. And you may struggle with the pay. It stinks. I wish teachers got paid more. I really do. I'm one of those people. I'm an advocate for that. But at the same time, there are some that just abuse that and just, it trickles down to the kids. She's right. I mean, the one that was intoxicated. Yeah, great job. I mean, yeah, it's one thing
to get to be escorted by police.
Exactly. Come on, like, man. It's one thing if I'm on the air doing radio and I'm intoxicated and they call the police to drag me out. But it's another when you're with kids, when you're with high school kids, and the police are dragging you out. If you work at a plant, they'll pull you away because of safety concerns. But my God, if you're doing this in front of young adults, for golly, what is wrong with you? What is wrong? Good for her. Well done.
I'm already a big fan. I hope she goes on to do great things.
I hope so too.
She has to.
I hope so too. I hope she Ellen buys her a car or something like that. The bad.
Maybe they just invite her to come roast, people in their office. Like, hey,
yeah, that's true.
We'll just give you this, and then you go ahead and take it away from there.
That's a good idea.
The bad of the day. The bad of the day is there's turmoil hitting America's new favorite team.
Oh boy.
Yeah, the Browns organization is experiencing some issues. Well, Baker Mayfield made some choice comments about running back Duke Johnson, because Duke Johnson has withdrawn it that he wants to be traded because he feels he's underappreciated. And Baker went on. I was trying to find the audio, but I can't find it anywhere. But Baker basically said, it's like, I hope he's ready to play. He says he's a professional, and we'll see what happens. But it's not giving him a pass. I mean, Baker Mayfield's second year in the league. He's only 1 year under his belt.
That's
already
right.
Acting like a seasoned veteran. Well, the veteran players on the Browns organization had a heart-to-heart with Baker, but I guess it was amicable. They reached a solution. They reached an agreement. So, I mean, even though there's turmoil, there's drama happening that would be great storylines for Hard Knocks, it seems like the Browns actually are dealing with it in there. So it's a bad with a twist of good.
Yeah, okay. All right. Very good. All right.
I just hope it doesn't derail America's team.
Yeah. I mean, this is what we've all been waiting for this whole time.
Yeah, I mean, if something like this just destroys what we're all hoping for, to see, the reunification of two LSU wide receivers being thrown to by a young, Big 12 rookie quarterback or second year quarterback. I mean, this don't ruin this for us.
No, we've been waiting for the emergence of this team, and now it's here. Don't kill it. Don't kill it with some eternal strife. I don't want to deal with that. No.
Okay, so moving on to the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day.
Dumb of the day are cities celebrating their teams winning titles. And as you mentioned earlier, cities winning their first title ever. So I'm talking about St. Louis and Toronto. I'll start with Toronto first. Why not? Because it's fresh in our mind. Toronto celebrated. Did you hear about this? When they were already there in Jurassic Park. They're ready to storm the streets.
Saw that.
Burn Toronto down. No, they broke out at a peaceful We Are the Champions singing.
Oh, how great.
How Canadian.
This is like when your school wins the championship and you want to do crazy stuff, but like all the teachers are there making sure that everyone's going to get
expelled. No tipping of police cars. Now, one trash can was set on fire. It was, let's take to the streets, let's honk our horns, and let's break out into We Are the Champions. Peaceful. They need to learn how to do it right.
Well, wait till the parade. Let's hold out judgment until we have the parade, and then they go, now can we take care of the city?
We can drink Molson's during the day, correct?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And then I'll move to St. Louis fan celebrating the Blues. They went the extreme opposite direction.
Opposite direction,
Several fans tried to push down the arch.
They tried to push down the arch?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, the big gateway to the arch.
Yeah, the big gateway arch. What were they trying to do with it? What would have happened if they did succeed?
It came close, Tony. It was really close. There was about 15 fans. That thing maybe budged a nanometer.
If one of those had superhuman strength that he didn't realize? Like, he was from another planet, and his parents never told him that there was a craft in the farm. Yeah. And he was like, oh, my God, it actually did push the arch down.
It's just funny watching the video.
That's
these guys,
awesome.
Like, just trying their hardest, like, and then running up to it and pushing it, trying to, almost like, I'm going to be like Hulk. Push it down.
Would it have been rude if the St. Louis Cardinals put out a video that told its fans, hey, remember when we won championships? Don't be, you know, do exactly what you did before for the Blues. Or would that be stealing the Blues' thunder if the Cardinals had done
that? I think it would be stealing the thunder. Yeah, let hockey fan, or new hockey fan, I should say, in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Because I'm imagining there's a whole bunch of new ones.
All of a sudden, there's going to be a lot of gear bought by people who never even went to a game.
Because let's face it. January 1st, not many people in St. Louis even knew they had a hockey team.
That's very true.
And then all of a sudden, 6 months later, they're on top of the world.
That was like that here. When the Predators were playing the Penguins a few years ago. So was it last year, 2 years ago, whatever it was. It was like that here. Everyone was a fan. Everybody was buying shirts. Everybody knew. All of a sudden, Pecorine was a name people knew. But go back a month, they didn't even know when they were playing.
Yep.
Right? It's like that. So I'm sure in St. Louis, there is the level of diehard, and then there's the people like, yeah, I've been in St. Louis my whole life. I didn't even care about the Blues until now.
That's silly. Yeah. I do have a quick Florida bonus. I think this might be this
– Oh, this is great.
This
is like a bonus,
a daily thing. I mean, it's
yes.
It's bad. I mean, it's typical Florida. I think this would only happen in Florida, but it is sad that two giraffes were killed after being struck by lightning.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah. But I just feel like that would only happen in Florida. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's
maybe
true.
Because Florida's flat and they're like the tallest things in Florida.
And there's a lot of lightning there.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, but two of them at the same park.
Man, that stinks.
Yeah, but that's, I don't know.
The same bolt? Same bolt of lightning, did they say?
I don't know if it's, I think it
might
have
been the same bolt. I mean, they were together, like, getting ready to do giraffe business.
Well, okay, it has to be the same bolt, right? Because if one gets hit and you see your friend get struck by lightning, are you hanging out in that area? No, you're
taking off. Yeah, if you're a giraffe, like, I am out of here as quickly as you can. Like I said, maybe there are two giraffes were getting together, like, hey, it's late, don't have to be at work the next morning, you want to hang out? The other one was like, yeah, sure, why not? And kabam, good night, two gone. Goodness. I'm telling you, man, I'm worth repeating here. I don't have a lot of phobias. Lightning is one of them. I'm petrified of lightning. I can't take it. I'm like a little child. I don't know why I'm like a little child. I never saw anybody get hit. I've never been hit. Because if I did, I'd have superpowers. But I've never seen anybody get hit. I don't have somebody I know that experienced it. Yet, for some weird reason, since I was a kid, lightning has terrified me. So I don't like it. My wife loves it, because she's from Florida. Happens all the time. She loves it. She'll walk outside in it. She doesn't care. I will run inside. I will run inside the moment lightning strikes. I'm not, ugh, it's scary stuff. Now the giraffes know how I feel. All right, it's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing. Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. You know, I get calls every week from friends asking for a second opinion on a car repair. Now, if you ever had your car in a shop and it seems like their diagnosis is way off base, well, it might be. Repairing cars is much more complex than the old days, and honest mistakes can be made. But you want to make sure that everybody's on the same page and talking about the same problem. Perhaps you have two problems. If so, you want to make sure that you're talking about the same thing because you can only afford to fix one of them. I wouldn't hesitate to say, hang on a minute, let me check with someone and I'll get back to you. Then call another shop, describe the symptoms, and see if they've heard of that problem before. Not only can this save you money, but it'll also make you feel better about the repair and how much money you're spending. This is Mike Herzing. Let's Talk Wheels is brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. More tips, go to letstalkwheels.com and go to our new podcast, Let's Talk Wheels Podcast. Find it on iTunes, Google Play, and sign up for it.
Every legend starts somewhere, and yours can start today at the Jeep Celebration Event. With great deals on the most legendary SUV lineup, explore the unknown in the unforgettable luxury of Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. Be prepared to take your adventures even farther with up to 31 mpg highway in Jeep Cherokee. Experience the joy of open-air freedom like never before through the available panoramic dual-pane sunroof of Jeep Compass. And no matter where your travels might take you, Jeep Wrangler, the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the year, is built to get you there. Start building your legend today. Hurry in for a great deal at the Jeep Celebration Event.
Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So again, the NBA Finals have come to an end in six games. Did not go the way people thought when the series started. But I think once Toronto won game one, I think people were like, well, maybe I need to reevaluate this team a little bit. Yeah, this might be a team that could give the Warriors all they could handle. I still think people held out the thought that the Warriors would lose this series. Maybe until about game three, maybe possibly game four, when you realize, oh man, Toronto can win on the road too. But congratulations to the Raptors. Well done, Masai Ujiri, with the gambles that paid off. Congratulations, Kawhi Leonard. Boy, it wasn't that long ago that we were kind of roasting Kawhi for how him and Greg Popovich were duking it out in San Antonio and going to the Raptors and emerging as champion and basically giving the Raptors exactly what they wanted from him. You know what? It's a script. It's a script that is written and played out. It was fantastic.
One of the more amazing things that we're basically just a little over a year removed from him hiding in a hotel.
Yeah, that's very true.
And now
that's
we're
right.
Celebrating him as one of the best players in the NBA.
Exactly. And it's you know, well-deserved because he played well, but also to a point where we didn't know what kind of Kawhi Leonard that Toronto was going to get, and they ended up getting a guy that was very, very dedicated to giving this team a championship, not only for himself, but for the city and his teammates. And he did great, and he's a finals MVP and well-deserved. It's SB Nation Radio, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver on Twitter.